Just talk to me a little bit about the significance of these numbers.
Well, the numbers represent roughly 35% of the gross agricultural income we had in 2010. So
okay.
That tells you a lot right there.
And it said that the drought losses totaled over $7 billion.
Yes, about 7.62 is our best number. Obviously, those are estimates. They're not, I mean, there's no way to get an exact number. But $7.62 billion is $4.1 billion higher than any other drought number we've had. It's nearly double the highest drought loss we've recorded before, and that was in 06.
Okay. And you know, when people think of drought, they think of no rain. Now, what are some other factors that affected all of these losses?
Well, we had the perfect storm, if you want to use a trite phrase. We had exceptionally high temperatures, and we had temperatures that averaged about 2 degrees higher than any other year ever since we measured in 1895. We had exceptionally high wind velocities. If you remember last spring, we had winds blowing all day, all night. We had an extent where it was covered the entire state, and we had the very dry weather. It was the driest year, the hottest year, and we don't have records on wind, but it was probably a record on that as well. So those are all things that are adverse to conserving water, and we had just tremendous losses in our crops, forages, livestock due to that.
Let's talk a little bit about the livestock. You know, a lot of people don't think of the animals. They just think of crops when you talk about drought. But because of no rain and shortage of hay production, what did that do to the livestock?
Well, hay is essentially our savings account, and it's what we draw on when we're in a time of shortage. Oftentimes we grow hay to feed during the wintertime because our perennial pastures like Bermuda grass don't grow in the winter. So we typically feed, say, mid-November to green up in the spring, maybe March or early April, and that's about it. This year it didn't green up. We had a lot of pastures that never were green. So we kept feeding hay through about May, and about May the entire state ran out of hay. Nobody was making any hay except a few irrigated growers, and most of those irrigated growers were feeding that hay to their own animals. So we started bringing hay in. I've heard reports of hay from Canada, Montana, New York. Lots of it came in from Arkansas and Missouri and other locations. So with the price of diesel running $4 a gallon, hay prices just went through the roof, three times normal prices. But hay was not the only story. We had a lot of ranchers had cull cattle and had their numbers down, and they maybe had a little grass. They had no water, and you can buy hay and haul hay, but it's real tough to haul water to livestock. So I was testifying before the House of Representatives Committee on Natural Resources yesterday. And the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association was testifying there as well. And they said their membership reduced herds by 35% across the state. Our best estimate is about 680,000 mother cows left the state, either became hamburger or were sold to another out of state to another enterprise,
mm-hmm.
And that'd be about 16% or so of the total cow herd
in the state.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Well, and, you know, people in the area, we get so bogged down in not so much the city life, but College Station is growing. And we kind of forget that we are so close to many, you know, rural areas and people. This is their livelihood.
Well, the number two industry in the state of Texas is agriculture. Number one, the oil and gas production. So anytime you hit a big whack on the ag segment, it ripples through the economy. All of those dollars that would be in the pockets of Texans are no longer in the pockets of Texans, and they can't spend, and they can't hire people, and they can't. Those numbers I gave you are direct losses to agricultural producers. It doesn't talk about the cotton gin that didn't open up. It didn't talk about the truckers that didn't haul cotton bales. It didn't talk about the warehouse that didn't store cotton bales. It didn't talk about the machinery that wasn't bought. It didn't talk about the bolts and nuts and things, diesel and lube and all the many things that go to running a farm. It didn't talk about not buying new pickups. It didn't talk about not buying new televisions or stereo sets or whatever, that the whole economy is tied to that money that comes into ag. The Texas Department of Agriculture estimates the ag economy is a little over $100 billion in the state of Texas. The direct agricultural sales is a little over $20 billion, maybe $22 billion. But it's a huge industry to the state of Texas, and it's very important to the national economy.
So you've been happy about a lot of this rain we've had lately, I'm assuming.
Oh, this has been wonderful. But we are indeed blessed here in Central Texas. We've had well above normal rainfall since December. But a lot of the Texas is not so fortunate. I try to get a snapshot of the whole state. We got a lot of South Texas, Southwest Texas, West Texas, the High Plains, the Rolling Plains, all have areas that are still in desperate situations. So we're fortunate here. I'm very, very glad that things have changed, but we have to remember that statewide, it's not so rosy.
Now, is there only so much that, you know, even funding and extra money can do? I mean, is this something that really Mother Nature will have to help out the farmers with?
Yes, we develop agricultural production systems based on how much it rains and how much irrigation water is available. Obviously, what we grow in Beaumont, Texas, is not the same as what we grow in Abilene, or West Laco is not the same as Dalhart, but if we get a significant change, so we get a prolonged dry spell, it's going to look different. We're going to have different crops. We're going to have different production systems. We'll have to change what we do, and that'll change the economy that's built around that.
Okay. Well, Dr. Miller, is there anything else that you'd like to touch on this morning?
Well, I'd just like to have people remember that, hey, it's rained, we got a little water in the lakes, but we can get back into the same situation. And water conservation is the only long-term solution to this, managing our water better. So everybody contributes to that, and it's something that the WTAW listeners can make a difference in.